You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, the Trend Zone.
Oh yeah, we're not the suits that talk football. We're the dudes that know football. And you've just crossed over into the Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We are the football dudes. Dave, are you ready, bro?
The time is now. Yes, I'm ready.
Oh, yeah, it is now. Hey, isn't this great?
Hey.
All right, your next stop is the Trend Zone. It is Wednesday, January 24th. We're coming to you from Los Angeles, California, and it's a frigid 59 degrees, Dave.
It was a bit rainy today. A little bit rainy, got to tell you, people.
Yeah.
Frigid. You wear
umbrella.
You know? Yeah.
Parka. Parka.
Yeah, it's definitely umbrella weather.
Cats freak out in L.A., baby. It starts raining. They don't know what the hell to do. Stormwatch 2024. Dave, we got bigger stuff to talk about than the weather here. In today's episode, we fill a couple of seats on the coaching carousel. Some teams get some compensatory compensation. We peep some staggering numbers as the NFL playoffs dominated viewership. And, of course, we will preview both conference championship games. But, Dave,
yes, sir.
Before we get to that, tell me you got some tasty nugs for the people.
Yes, sir. I will be providing the tasty nugs at this time. How about this one, Casey? 40 million average viewers for the four divisional rounds. That is up 5% from the most viewers ever. That was set 2 years ago. So crushing the record yet again.
That's what the NFL do, baby. That's records every year. The draft dwarfs the NBA and baseball. Whatever's going up against it, the draft. So when you're telling me we got playoffs, you know that it's going to dominate.
Yeah, 126.7 million viewers tuned in for the divisional round this time. How about the Packers-Niners averaging 37.5 million? That is the most watched Saturday NFL playoff game ever. And the Sunday game between the Chiefs and Bills averaged 50.4 million viewers. That is the most watched divisional or wild card game ever.
I can imagine that this weekend is going to do pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Yes, it is.
Hey, remind all you Hepcats out there in Listensville, the Trend Zone now available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, wherever the hell you get your podcast. Dave, I have a question for you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Oh, yeah, baby. Chargers get their guy. Jim Harbaugh, is coming to be the new coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. React.
Yes, exactly. I'll tell you what, Jim Harbaugh was the guy that we had our eye on the whole time. Thankfully, with the Justin Herbert, being the quarterback there with the bright future, 26-year-old under contract for the next 7 years, Harbaugh felt the same way. And this was his perfect re-entry back into the NFL. He got everything he wanted accomplished at the collegiate level at this point. There's one missing thing on his resume. As a college coach, though, let's talk about it. 144-42 was his college record, went in the three Big Ten championships, and obviously a first national title for Michigan since 1997. He was 86-25 at Michigan, spent four seasons before that as the coach of the 49ers. He inherited a team that had missed the playoffs eight straight seasons, and he was named NFL's Coach of the Year in his first season. After that, brought them to three straight NFC championship games, lost the Super Bowl to his brother, John Harbaugh, and the Ravens there in a real close game there. Harbaugh left the Niners after 14 with a record of 44-19-1. So a really impressive record, almost 70% win percentage there. Harbaugh also played quarterback for the Chargers late in his career from 99 to 2000 there. And he is expected to bring defensive coordinator Jesse Minter along with him from Michigan to play that role as a Chargers defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, this was the prized jewel out of all the coaches out there. And you're talking, you got Belichick, Vrabel, Pete Carroll, all these guys, but Harbaugh was the dude. I think it's going to be a great fit for the Chargers. You mentioned Justin Herbert. the Pro Bowl quarterback, got a little banged up here this season.
Yeah.
Harbs, according to Harbs' brother Harbs, says that this is the best team builder in football. You saw it with what he did even before he got to the Niners with San Diego, building up the program, Stanford, and all this stuff. It's been success wherever he's gone, and now he's got a young, dynamic quarterback. It is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I got to tell you, like you said, out of all those big-name guys, he was the only offensive-oriented one, a former quarterback, obviously, himself, compared to those other big-name and highly successful available coaches. So I thought he was the right choice for this Chargers team right now. And this, that they need to wash away all that negativity over the last couple of years. And obviously start building the team here.
I still get that visual from when he was with the Colts and they were playing the Steelers, that Hail Mary to end the game and the receiver drops. And he's like, I thought he got the ball. He got the ball.
He was a gamer. We know
Captain
that
comeback.
Yep. That's right.
It's exciting. Well, Dave, now that Harbs is in place there, that kind of dwarfs all the other news from some of these other teams. But go ahead and start with your second favorite team, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah. Well, we previously mentioned they did hire the interim head coach, Antonio Pierce. He did a nice job for the last 9 games. I believe he was 5-4, beat the Chiefs along the way. They hire Tom Telesco, the former Charger GM. He was Chargers GM for 11 seasons. I like them quite a bit, but when you read these records I'm about to read, it's not so exciting. He hired 3 head coaches and had 2 playoff wins in his 11-year duration there. The Chargers were 84-95 under his watch, although I do believe that he does have a good eye for talent, so I wish him the best of luck, except when he's playing against his old team.
Yeah, and the J.C. Jackson contract might have been the final nail, but he was smart enough to draft Herbert, so maybe by default, maybe that was the plan, who knows, but you got your dude there, so good luck with him in Las Vegas there. And Dave, the Titans did a hiring as well.
Yeah, and obviously it was a surprise when they blew out Vrabel, but they bring in Brian Callahan, last 5 seasons as the Bengals offensive coordinator there, and he didn't even call plays for the Bengals, but he was integrally involved in the development of Joe Burrow and his, obviously, ascension into one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's also the son of Bill Callahan, who way back when took the Raiders to the Super Bowl. So a very respected O-line coach, and he may actually be brought in as an O-line coach there. So we'll see if that turns out or not.
And the Bears found their guy too.
Yeah. They announced the hiring of Shane Waldron. He is their new offensive coordinator. He was with the Seahawks for the last 3 years. Before that, he was with the Rams for 4 years under McVay. If you've had a cup of coffee with McVay, you're pretty much great candidate to be a head coach in this league or an offensive coordinator. You're certainly almost a genius at that point in time by sharing coffee with McVay.
And Dave, is there any chance that the Hoodie or Vrabel or even Pete Carroll – go ahead and sit out a year and wait to see what happens in Big D with Mike McCarthy? Anything less than a conference championship or a Super Bowl might be a non-contract re-up situation there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a surprise right now that these are exceptional coaches. And at this point, there isn't a lot of, clamoring for their services at this point, but there are still a handful of jobs opening. The Commanders, the Falcons, Seahawks, and Panthers all need somebody to run the show. And there is some, obviously, interest with the Falcons and Belichick, and also maybe the Washington Commanders would be interested in Belichick because of the legitimacy that he brings.
Yeah, interesting. It'll be very interesting to see how that stuff plays out. And Dave, not quite a head coaching situation, although this guy has been a head coach. The Fins had enough of the Fangio. Fins had enough of the Fan.
Yeah, it was one and done for Vic. And, I thought he was, I still think he's a pretty awesome coach. But he is expected to be the top target of the Eagles for their defensive coordinator vacancy, which recently became available. That would be a pretty nice fit. I believe he's from that area, so that would work out for him in terms of sort of going back home and also getting to coach a team that's a pretty good football team right now. So maybe a nice lateral move for Vic Fangio. It was an amicable parting with him and the Dolphins.
That's what they always say, Dave. But speaking of those Eagles, they're stoked to add a little more quality player pool to their team next year.
Yeah, the NFL announces the compensatory picks. Well, I don't think they've officially been announced, but the formula is well enough known by some strategists that they can predict pretty well. And it looks like Philly is going to get a third round pick and 3 fifth rounders for a handful of veteran players that they lost. Other teams doing well, the 49ers expected to get a third rounder and a fifth rounder and 2 sixth rounders.
Whoa.
Yeah. Jags are expected to get an extra third round pick and an extra sixth round pick. The Bills are going to get an extra third round pick, and the Rams are projected to get an extra fifth round and sixth round pick. So I don't know this formula. I wish I did, but it never seems like the Chargers get players. I don't know why this is. We once in a blue moon get a seventh rounder. I think we are getting a seventh rounder in this year's compensatory right near the back. It's a preferred free agent pick at that point.
Dave, you forgot to carry the one and then move the decimal over two spaces. Done.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand the formula, man. I'm pretty good with numbers, but not this time.
All right, Dave. We got our coaches lined up for the All-Star Bowl games, the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Game. They do a good job. They bring in rising NFL coordinators or assistants to get a chance at head coaching. Is pretty cool. They made that change a couple of years ago, and these guys are dialed in for this year's games.
Yeah, it helps develop these coaches, you know, and give them a chance to put them in a bigger leadership role. It'll be the Shrine Bowl with Richard Hightower from the Bears and Mike Kafka from the Giants as the coaches in that game. That game will also be played. It will be 5 o'clock West Coast time, 8 p.m. East Coast time on Thursday, February 1st on NFL Network. So set your TVs for it, folks. You don't want to miss this, okay?
Coming these from the star in Frisco, baby.
That's right. That's right. Jarrett's got a feel for you.
And then what about the Senior Bowl, the Reese's Senior Bowl, Dave?
Yeah, this was a good one. It's Jeff Ulbrich of the Jets and Terrell Williams of the Titans will be the opposing coaches in this one. This is the 75th anniversary Senior Bowl. It'll be 1 p.m. Eastern or 10 a.m. on West Coast time where we reside, Saturday, February 3rd, excuse me.
And I'm ready for September, baby, because our death.
So mark your calendars, put it on your TVs, flag it. Make sure you don't miss that. Then you can watch it and make sure. Those are the rising stars, specifically the Senior Bowl. Basically, virtually every single player in that game will be drafted. A couple of them might slip through the cracks, but they will be in camps. So that is a way to look at some good talent coming into the league and get yourself in the mindset, hey, the draft's around the corner.
And controversial take, I'm not that into the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. My jam and the Reese's family are the Reese's Pieces, just like E.T., baby.
I'm going to go with the take five. It's got some peanut butter in there. I don't know if that is a Reese's product or not, but certainly delicious.
It's tasty. Yeah, especially after a couple of those dank nugs. Get into the take fives, baby. Ow! Woo! Dave, to hell with all that crap. Let's get to the real deal. It is conference championship week.
Conference championship week, Casey. I'll tell you what. Now, I've crunched the numbers on this multiple times, and what I'm discovering here, it is inevitable that it is, in fact, slipping away.
Yeah. Three games is all we have left.
It's slipping away?
Oh, man. Well, speaking of three seeded teams have lost four straight conference championship games.
Wow.
Colts victory was the last one, and the number one seed's not been that much better from 2018 to 2022. Number one seeds, only 4-3 in the championship games, and they're only 12-9 overall in the postseason. And just one seed in that time span has won the Super Bowl. You know them, you love them, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow, it's impressive. I mean, the one seed does give you a hell of an advantage these days, but apparently it's not panning out for a lot of these guys. a lot of these teams, rather. So no team since the 2003-2004 Patriots, Casey, has won consecutive Super Bowls. There's only one team that could do that this year. That would, of course, be the Kansas City Chiefs, looking to break that 18-year streak.
And Dave, our four quarterbacks that we have left, Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy, all under 30 years of age. It's a young man's sport, Dave.
No doubt about it, dude. That's pretty crazy. This weekend's AFC Championship game, of course, Mahomes and Jackson, both under 30. So pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's the first AFC Championship featuring post or league MVPs that are also under 30. Lamar looking to grab his second one. I'm sure he would trade it all for a win over those Chiefs, but TBD. We're going to have to see what happens. These Ravens.
Go ahead. Interesting note about the Ravens, Casey. This Sunday's game is the first time the Ravens have hosted an AFC Championship game. The last time the city of Baltimore hosted the contest was January 3rd, 1971, when the Baltimore Colts defeated the Oakland Raiders 27-17. At Memorial Stadium, and that was on en route to a Super Bowl championship for the Colts. Super Bowl V, if you remember that one, right, Casey?
Yeah, when Jim O'Brien kicked the game winner against my Cowboys. What a jerk. All right, let's get to it, baby. It is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Baltimore Ravens, and the Ravens are 3.5-point favorites in this one. The last time these two teams played was back in September of 2021, with the Ravens getting the 1-point win, 36-35.
Ooh, sign me up for that game again, right? Hello. How about Baltimore's John Harbaugh launching his NFL career with the Eagles in 88? That was 1 year before Andy Reid became Philly's head coach. Reid retained Harbaugh on his Philly staff until the Ravens hired Harbaugh away as head coach in 2008. Harbaugh, of course, one of the longest tenured coaches in the league.
Yeah, Chiefs advanced to their sixth straight AFC Championship game, second longest streak in NFL history, looking for their fourth Super Bowl appearance in the past 5 years, Dave.
Ooh. Yeah, only the Patriots have a longer streak than that. That's eight in a row from 11 to 18.
And especially with the way the NFL is set up, that's not supposed to happen these days. But when you have Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, that's what you get. And last week, these Chiefs beat the Bills in Buffalo 27-24. Dave, the poor Bills, bro.
Yeah. I mean, felt like the Bills had a pretty good chance to win in this game. Mm-hmm. Mahomes had a pretty modest game, I suppose. 17 of 23, 215 yards and two touchdowns. Pacheco got it going a little bit in this one, 97 yards in the score. But, I mean, the Chiefs do what they do. They kind of mosey about, and then when the chips are down, is when they kind of ramp up their play. And you know, you got to give a credit to them. Mahomes, you know, six carries for 19 yards, just gets the right number of yards when he needs to with his feet. That was a heck of a football game for sure. One of the best games last weekend.
Yeah, and early on, the Bills were having a lot of success running the ball. The Chiefs straightened it out and shut that crap down. And then in the fourth quarter, the Bills were unable to score any points in that thing. It's weird to talk about a Chiefs team, and we'll get into that defense. But the defense, it's hard to say that they're carrying a team that's got Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback, but this defense has been awesome. But Dave, let's go ahead and start with that Kansas City offense.
Absolutely. Ninth in yards per game, sixth in passing, 19th in rushing, and 15th in points. So when you go essentially to the most important stat, it is 15th in points at under 22 points a game. That's where they're sort of an average offense. But again, we know this is not an average offense, right? I mean, it's just a fantastic when the pressure is on, when all the chips are on the table, Patrick Mahomes gets it done. So, you know, he had his numbers were very modest in the game against the Bills, but it was almost 74% completions with a 131.6 passer rating in that game. So, you know, that'll get it done, right? You know?
Yeah, and what, zero interceptions and zero fumbles. He's not making the play that's going to get his team beat. He might not make all the plays, but he's not going to give it to you. And this year was kind of like moving things together. They got rid of Juju Smith-Schuster, so they didn't really have a number one. They loved Rashi Rice, but it took him a little bit to adjust to the pro game, especially coming from that SMU offense. Yeah. He's shown the last month and a half of the season that he is a bona fide number one receiver. And Pacheco, when he's in there, he's been great. He was a little banged up in the middle of the season, but now those guys are pumping. The offensive line looks pretty good and as bad as some points looked at for these Chiefs. Remember, it was like week 14 or whatever. Oh, they're just a game ahead of Jacksonville for the number one seed. Oh, the Raiders or the Broncos are just a game behind them. They left both of those, all of those cats in the dust.
Yeah.
And they're in the AFC Championship. And there was also a point in time where they said Big Red couldn't win the big game. Poppycock, Dave. That's poppycock.
Yeah. I mean, Reed has 24 career playoff wins, second most ever by a head coach. He's appearing in his 11th championship game as a head coach. That's more than Tom Landry's 10. It's the second most ever by a head coach. And with a win, he can become the fourth head coach ever to appear in five Super Bowls. So Andy Reed is a huge reason that this Chiefs team has the success that they do, without a doubt. Also, when you talk about Mahomes, Casey, in his games against Lamar Jackson and these Ravens, he's played pretty well in those games. They're not every year, but he's 3-1 against them. And in the four games, he's passed for almost 1,500 yards. So like almost 370 yards a game on average against the Ravens, 13 TDs and just two interceptions in those career games versus Baltimore. So, you know, 325 pass yards and two touchdowns and a 90-plus passer rating in each of those games. So he has really played well against this Ravens team. And they've had a great defense, obviously, for the duration of that time.
Yeah, and Damian Williams had a big Super Bowl a couple years ago against those Niners. But there hasn't been, like, a great running back on these Chiefs, I think, since the Larry Johnson days. But Isaiah Pacheco, he is an energizer, and he's got a heart the size of Texas. This dude runs like you stole money from him, and he's coming to get you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He runs with ferocity, for sure. And I don't know how long his career is going to last, but right now the dude is very, very effective. I mean, 111 scrimmage yards last week was definitely had an impact, and he's scored a touchdown in six straight games. So he's putting his stamp on it.
Yeah. And you know, obviously Travis Kelce is a huge part of this offense. He got better last week, and what him and Mahomes are doing, they're rewriting the record books. And this guy might go down as one of, well, he's already one of the best tight ends in the history of the game. Could be the best when all is said and done.
Yeah, he was 5 for 75, two TDs last week, and it's his 11th straight game with 5-plus catches and 50 yards, right? Both are the second longest streaks in NFL history. So,
yeah. And now he's getting a little help from Rashi Rice, and MVS showed up. Of all the struggles that this guy had, he had his best game when it mattered most. We'll see if we can see that on Sunday, but I love what they're getting out of Rashi Rice.
Yeah, Rice, like you said, has, you know, he's the guy that's came out of everything and found his way as the guy that really Mahomes trusts in a clutch situation other than Kelce. Finally, he's found that dude. They had Sky Moore. They had Mecole Hardman. A lot of dudes in that possible role.
Yeah.
But Rice has emerged as the man.
Absolutely. And this Spags defense, Dave, is – I mean, this, I can't wait to see this game because two of the best defenses, but you just don't think about the Chiefs doing that.
Yeah.
They rebuilt this defense, gave Spags all these weapons, and we mentioned the points down for the Chiefs offense. That's no problem, Bob, because this defense is playing great football, dude.
Yeah, it's one of the tops in the league, and they, you know, they, when they won the Super Bowl last year, they did it with one of the youngest defensive rosters in the league. A lot of those dudes were rookies, and a lot of them were actually kind of on the return from that Tyreek Hill deal where they got all those extra draft picks. But the defense, second in yards per game, fourth in passing, 18th in rushing, and second in points, just giving up 17.3 points a game. So that'll get it done. Additionally, second in sacks with 57, just 27th in takeaways with 17. But they are, they have throughout the course of this year, given up a lot of turnovers. That has remedied, as you mentioned a little bit, and that was on the offense, not the defense. So they are negative 11 at the end of the season in the turnover ratio. So that is the one little bugaboo that the Chiefs offense has to avoid. But this Chiefs defense doesn't take the ball away that much, but they do get after the quarterback and wreak havoc.
Yeah, early on, Mahomes throwing a lot of interceptions, 14 on the year, but that was because he was trying to get these receivers up to speed. The last few weeks, he's been very good with the ball, as expected, and the same came for those receivers. Dave, you mentioned, dude, Chris Jones, one of the most dominating defensive tackles in the league. He's going to be a free agent. I know he would like to stay in Kansas City, but if he doesn't, dude, he is going to torch these Ravens on Sunday.
Yeah, we never know. This might be his last run here in Kansas City. He picked up that sack bonus there against the Chargers.
Chargers should have let him do that in the first quarter and get him the hell out of that game.
Then he ran off the field. That was the last we saw of him. He is an absolute game wrecker, and he is going to leave it all out on the field, man. So he is absolutely insane. He has two sacks, two forced fumbles in his two career games at Baltimore. He has 10 and a half sacks on the 2023 regular season. So the dude constantly wrecks games. You just have to figure out where he's lining up and deal with him on every offensive play.
Yeah, you mentioned second in sacks with 57. Talk about the Greek god of sacks.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's in his second year, and he's really showing that he is. He was an excellent pick there. He had 10 and a half sacks this season for those guys. So, yeah, Nick Bolton, the linebacker, led the team with 13 sacks. So, I mean, it's his third straight game with 10-plus tackles, too. So, yeah, this Chiefs defense getting it done across the board. And we can't forget the secondary, where Legarius Sneed is such an obvious, he's just an absolute beast back there, man. He goes off for, takes away the best receiver for the other team.
He really he did a great job of shutting down the Cheetah in that wild card round. Did great last week. Diggs pretty quiet for the most part. So we'll see who they end up putting him on. If he's on Flowers, they move him on OBJ. It's going to be a tough matchup for whoever he goes up against. All right, Dave, let's go ahead and flip this thing over to the Ravens. They're hosting the AFC Championship for the first time ever as a Raven. We mentioned the Colts did it. They can advance to their third Super Bowl in franchise history. They were in Super Bowl 35 and 47, dominating wins in 35, and did just enough to beat the other Harbs in 47. The Ravens got here by beating the Texans 34-10, and I'm not sure it was that close.
Yeah, I mean, they just absolutely dominated in their first playoff game and only playoff game. So they're well-rested, which is good news. They, this Baltimore offense led the league in rushing with 156.5 yards per game. They were fourth in points per game, rather, at just over 28 points a game. And sixth in running against the rush, but just 21st against the pass. So that's the only sort of slightly deficient part of their game, but it certainly didn't look that way last week when they were taking care of a really impressive Houston Texans team led by CJ Stroud. This team offensively knows how to be physical and really, really try and dominate the football game. That starts up front, obviously, with the play and the leadership of Lamar Jackson. So last week, 252 yards, 152 pass and 100 rushing yards, 4 TDs, 0 interceptions for a 121.8 passer rating. So really an impressive game.
Yeah, dude. But for like the first half, it seemed like it could go south for Lamar. He looked a little hesitant, wasn't doing anything. Then when it clicked, man, it just clicked and went full throttle. And if you can run for 200 yards, why would you ever throw the ball? And last week when I was watching them, I was thinking, why would you ever take Gus Edwards out of this game? And Justice Hill had one of his best games.
Right.
And then they got Dalvin Cook a little involved too. But Lamar Jackson, dude, this guy hands down the MVP this year. And it feels like he's put it all together too in this new offense.
Yeah, Todd Monken's offense has really suited him well. It hasn't limited what he does with his legs so well. We saw that last week when they ran a couple of those sneaks, and he just, you know, slips out the backside there, and it's a design run with Ronnie Stanley pulling and leading the block there. You know, with his versatility and the weapons that his legs are, you know, he has really threatens defenses in so many ways. It's really tough for defenses to deal with.
And one of the best rushing teams in the league. I mentioned Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. Both had good games. We saw a little taste of Dalvin late, but these guys both have different skill sets, but they're both very effective.
Yeah, Edwards is obviously a big, big, you know, bruiser back that kind of likes to run through the tackles. He had a career high with over 800 yards rushing and 13 touchdowns this season. Justice Hill, last week, 77 rushing scrimmage yards total combined. So, you know, both backs, Justice Hill is a little more, you know, can get it out of the backfield a little bit, outside a little bit more. Obviously, they lost a couple of really talented backs in Keaton Mitchell and J.K. Dobbins throughout the course of the season. Both of those backs brought other things to the table, too. But they have a nice blend of backs there. And like you said, if they can get Dalvin Cook into the mix there, he's obviously got fresh legs.
And these cats know what their roles are, and they know it's not going to be like a 30 carry game or whatever, or 25 touches. And they're content with those roles because the proof is in the pudding. They're in the AFC Championship. So it's not all about the individual there. They buy into this team effort. And Dave, we might get to see Mark Andrews in this game. How big of a get would that be for these Ravens?
Yeah. I mean, it would be absolutely enormous. He is one of the top tight ends in the league. He's right up there with Kelsey on the other side. And we haven't seen him since week 11. So he's had a very limited season in terms of productivity. But obviously, if he's in this game, even if he's not doing that much, you are going to have to take care of him. You're going to have to figure out where he is on every play. And in his absence, it's almost been a really nice situation for the young tight end, Isaiah Likely. He had a TD catch last week, and he's had a touchdown in 5 of his last 6 games overall. So his productivity in the absence of Mark Andrews has really gone up, up, up. And now I think you bring back Andrews, and suddenly, I mean, they can line up with a big body offense with a bunch of tight ends on the field, and even Ricard, the fullback, who's over 300 pounds, and they can run at you physical, like, but then they can also flick the ball out to one of these dudes and make a big play through the air.
Yeah. And last week before the show, we mentioned Aguilar. He ended up having the touchdown there. Could be him. It could be Bateman. What does OBJ have in store for this playoff push? But man, the ROI that they got on the first rounder, Zay Flowers, is better than they could have hoped for, dude.
Yeah. 4th among rookies with 77 catches and 5th with 858 receiving yards on the season. The guy is really shifty, really dynamic. Change of direction, dude. Gives you a burst, can be involved in the run game as well with the end arounds and stuff like that. He's just been a fantastic addition, really. With the guys that they've got with Bateman, he was good, but he wasn't at this level of excitement good. It wasn't the consistency that Flowers is bringing. And we have Nelson Aguilar, who in the past has shown he's a decent NFL receiver. You put all these guys together and you've got Zay Flowers kind of threatening a little bit more. It makes everybody better.
Yeah, OBJ working towards a Super Bowl MVP when we last saw him. So it'll be interesting to see the mix of those guys moving forward and see what they have in store for those Chiefs. We mentioned how good the Chiefs defense is. Dude, this Ravens defense, man, they are scary good, bro.
Yes, they are, man. 6th in yards per game, 6th in passing, 14th in rushing, and number 1 in points per game at 16.5. So I guess we can expect a low-scoring game. I don't see how that's going to happen, but both defenses, based on the numbers, I don't know that's going to happen, but both defenses, you would predict a low-scoring game here. They led the league with 60 sacks, tied for 3rd with 18 interceptions. So not only do they get after the quarterback, they also create the turnovers there. They're tied for number 1 in both takeaways with 31 and a plus 12 turnover differential. And we talked about it last week. The games that this Ravens team lost this year, they had silly turnovers that tossed the game away. There's only four losses, and yet they were directly associated with turnovers. They're accustomed to not losing the turnover battle. So it's going to be key that they continue that trend in this game and either at least stay even or win the turnover battle. But that's what they're accustomed to doing. Their defense dictates terms to the other team's offense.
Yeah, and it's a great front four. But, dude, this linebacking crew might be the best in the NFL, too.
Oh, man. I mean, it is with Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. Those two dudes are both tackling machines. Roquan Smith, 158 tackles this year. It's his third straight season with 150-plus tackles. Patrick Queen, career best, 133 tackles on the season. Those dudes are the engine that that runs this defense, man. It's impressive.
Yeah, and Jadeveon Clowney, we talked about him hitting the go-back, dude. He had tied his career high with 9.5 sacks. Dave, another rising star in this league, safety Kyle Hamilton, the former Domer.
Yeah, he is a big, rangy dude. He plays a lot of different positions back there. He's safety, but he's also in the slot and stuff, and he's a big body dude. So a lot of times those little dudes back there are what you're accustomed to seeing. This guy's pretty lanky and rangy and very athletic. Career high 13 passes defensed this year. He's a real impressive guy. Up next to him, Geno Stone ranks second in the NFL with 7 interceptions this year. So, yeah, that's a combination of safeties that that can hit you hard and also play the pass real well.
This game, dude, I am completely stoked for this. I don't know. Like, these defenses have shown up all year. Are they going to do that? Is it going to be just one play that is the difference in this game? And it's going to be rocking. We know that much. And whoever wins will have earned their path to the Super Bowl. All right, Dave, let's go ahead and put this over to the NFC. We have the Detroit Lions at the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are 7-point favorites in this one. And ironically, dude, these guys haven't played since September of 21, too. The Niners won that one 41-33. Detroit making its second NFC championship appearance in franchise history. First since 91. Woo. Tied the franchise record with 12 regular season wins. Clinched its first division title since 1993. Became the second team ever with 4-plus players, each with 10-plus touchdowns in the same season. We're talking Amon-Ra, LaPorta, Gibbs, and Montgomery. This is a high-powered offense, and it's our former Ram, Jared Goff, doing some special work with these guys.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's attempting to become only the 5th starting quarterback in NFL history to lead multiple franchises to Super Bowl appearances. The other dudes are pretty good. Tom Brady, Craig Morton, Kurt Warner, and Peyton Manning. So pretty nice names there. Moving back to last week, Casey, in the go back machine, we'll take a quick look as the Lions arrived at this position here.
I'm still in the go back machine, Dave. Whoa, trippy, buddy.
They got here by beating the Bucks last week, 31-23. And I'll tell you, Jared Goff had a really nice performance in that game, 30 of 43, 287, 2 touchdowns. This is an offense that's been impressive all year long. They were 3rd in yards per game, 2nd in passing, 5th in rushing, and 5th in points at just over 27 points a game. And Goff is looking for his 3rd straight game in the playoffs with 275-plus yards and 100-plus quarterback rating. So he was 2nd in the league passing this year at almost 4,600 yards and 4th in TD passes with 30 of them. So he has had a phenomenal year under this Ben Johnson led offense.
Yeah, and this guy, we talked about it. He was almost a throwaway in the Stafford deal. And Dan Campbell said, hell no, he's not. This is my quarterback. And I love to see this reclamation project that was Goff. He kind of got a raw deal out here. So seeing him and his story on a team like the Lions that's been so desperate for some postseason action, seeing that come together is pretty damn sweet.
It sure is. And it helped that the the GM there for the Lions was formerly under the GM from the Rams. So there was a intimate knowledge really of who they were getting when they were acquiring Jared Goff. And from one team's perspective, it was trash. And the other team had a little treasure in mind. So it looks like the Lions really got, obviously it's a win-win since the Rams got their quarterback with Stafford and they got their Super Bowl victory. But at this point now, it certainly seems like a win for the Lions and for Jared Goff as well. And they got back a bunch of extra picks, and those picks turned into some damn good football players.
Yeah, just real quick, with Goff on the Rams has a familiarity with these Niners, has some success against them. So we'll see if that comes to play on Sunday. Dave, you mentioned the picks. They turned one of those guys into Jahmyr Gibbs, and the combo of Gibbs and Montgomery is making some classic tunes, kind of like a Lennon and McCartney.
That's right. The combo there, Casey, you mentioned, they're the first pair of teammates in NFL history, each with 1,000 scrimmage yards and 10 plus touchdowns in the same season. So Montgomery, and it is a thunder and lightning scenario. Montgomery is the bigger back. He likes the short yardage and the goal line stuff. And he likes to punish defenses between the tackles. And Jahmyr Gibbs likes to burst it and pop outside and get the ball in his hands, maybe in a quick pass scenario. It is a real exciting combination of guys. Gibbs had 4 receptions for 40 yards last week. So a nice deal there. 9 carries for 74 yards and a touchdown. And Montgomery, 10 for just 33. But those are those tough, hard-to-earn yards when it's third and fourth and short or right down by the goal line area.
And Gibbs, so explosive on that. I think it was like a 40-yard touchdown run. I don't know if he was touched. Boom. Starting to see more of him develop and become an even bigger part of that offense. But, dude, the combo between Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown is undeniable. We saw this guy at SC. He's one of our favorite players. And the bigger the game, the more this dude wants it. Has a huge chip on his shoulder, and he's making other defenses pay for that.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. He knows all of the receivers that were picked before him. He can rattle them all off. And he uses that chip to really, you know, to get out there and to put everything he has into 8 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown last week. He had 119 catches, tied for second in the NFL this year, third with 1,515 receiving yards and 10 receiving touchdowns this year. All of those are career highs for him. This guy is a phenomenal player, and it's super exciting to watch him go.
And, dude, one of the best rookie seasons. Probably won't get the rookie of the year because of CJ Stroud. But Sam Laporta, when we saw him in week 18 get blasted by the Vikes, we didn't know if this guy would even be playing in the playoffs. They did sign Zach Ertz. I'm not sure if he's going to – probably won't be active for this, but an insurance case. But Sam Laporta, dude, even with that banged-up leg, dominated last week.
He was fun, wasn't he? 9 catches, most by a rookie tight end in playoff history, right? And set a tight end rookie tight end record for receptions at 86, the fourth most receiving yards ever by a rookie at 889 and all time, and became the third rookie tight end ever with 10 plus receiving touchdowns. So he absolutely tore up the record books there for tight end rookies. He has been super fun to watch. We knew it was a tight end draft last year, but this dude, yeah, he's the best of them right now, at least as the early returns show. This guy is a heck of a weapon.
Yeah, we talked about in the AFC game where we're going to see Snead and who he's going to be on. Dude, Amon-Ra St. Brown going against Charvarius Ward, all-pro battle there. That is going to be a fun, fun matchup to watch. But Dave, let's talk about this Lions defense real quick. They've gotten better as the year has gone on, and their pass rush got immensely better, making this playoff push, and the run defense has been legit all season.
Yeah, let's go through the numbers here. It's 19th in yards per game, just 27th in passing, so something to be concerned about there, but they are second in rushing yardage given up, and 23rd in points at just over 23 points a game. So they are 23rd in sacks with 41 of them, and they have 18 takeaways. They're 18th, rather, in takeaways with the 23 takeaways on the season. Their point turnover differential is zero. So, you know, obviously they do not want to lose the turnover battle in this matchup. Obviously, any turnover can be devastating in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they feel like they play better than those numbers. When you look watch them play, it doesn't feel like they're ranked that low in those different categories. But, man, they were getting after it last week. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson has been a tremendous player for these guys.
Yeah, he's looking for his fifth in a row with a sack. So he's getting to the quarterback consistently there. He had a career high in sacks at 11.5. He's got 14 tackles for the last 3 forced fumbles, 7 passes defensed. He is everything they wanted him to be when he came out of Michigan and went to the Detroit Lions. Hometown hero and more than just a feel-good story, the guy is producing like crazy.
Yeah, Brian Branch also came over with those Rams pick. But Dave, I talked about that running defense for these Lions. The only opposing player this year that's gotten more than 70 yards against these Lions was Justin Fields, who had 104 yards in November 19th. Since then, not a single back over 70. They're going to have to try to hold CMC to that on Sunday. It's going to be interesting. But these Niners, dude, a stable of just tremendous players and tremendous play. This is their third straight NFC championship, their fourth time in the past 5 seasons, third in scoring offense at almost 29 points a game. Scoring defense third as well as 17.5. The fourth team ever with a 4,000-yard passer and 4 players with 1,000 scrimmage yards in the same season. They've won 6 consecutive home playoff games. That is the NFL's longest streak. And like I said, their third consecutive NFC championship game. Their second with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, and they got to this game beating the Packers in a close game last week, 24-21. And you know what? It was a pretty, I guess, in retrospect, and really when we were watching, it's a bit of a sloppy performance for Brock Purdy, 252 yards and a touchdown, but just 23 of 39 in that football game. So it will be interesting to see if he can kind of dust it off and play a little more like we've seen him play for the majority of the season. Talking about that San Francisco offense, second in yards per game at just under 410 yards, fourth in passing, third in rushing, third in points at just under 29 points a game. And they are fourth on third down at 47.5%. So they really do a good job converting on third down too.
Yeah, and this team struggled for most of that game last week, but when Brock didn't struggle was in the fourth quarter when he had to go down there and get the game go ahead touchdown, which he was able to do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, when it came down to it, he had an excellent drive. I don't know if he was 6 for 7 or 7 for 7 on that final drive, something like that, but took care of business when he needed to. On the season, that's what he's been all about. He's the 5th quarterback ever to win a playoff game in each of his first 2 seasons. And he led the NFL in passer rating on the season at 113. He ranked 3rd in TD passes with 31 and 5th in pass yards with almost 4,300 passing yards in the regular season. So he's the 5th player ever with 8 games of 120-plus rating in a season. So he's consistently very, very high percentage, smart with the football, and that's what we expect from him basically every time he goes out to play.
Yeah, he's also the only 7th round drafted quarterback to ever start a conference championship game. Dave, Christian McCaffrey, we know what a stud this guy is. 128 scrimmage yards last week, 2 rushing touchdowns, led the NFL in scrimmage yards and rush yards and scrimmage touchdowns with 21. They might not have Deebo Samuel in this game, which would be a huge loss if they don't have him. But you were talking about this cat last week, Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, he's had a phenomenal year. And because of the dynamic nature of Deebo Samuel, the run catch ability, it kind of overshadows what Ayuk has become. And he is one of the top receivers in the league. 75 catches, career high, 1,342 yards this year. That's the 7th most in the NFL this season. 7 receiving touchdowns in the regular season for Ayuk. He has been an enormous weapon for this team. Big body dude, fast, good route runner. I mean, he's sort of just the well-rounded NFL receiver.
Yeah, and Juwan Jennings came in 5 for 61 with no Debo. We talked about George Kittle just a little bit last week. This is the guy that shows up. You've got everything else covered, and then George Kittle comes in and does you dirty like that. 81 receiving yards and a touchdown. Dave, this San Francisco defense, we keep saying with this, all these teams, great offense, defense might be better. There's a theme with these teams in the postseason that are still alive.
The old defense wins championships. I'll tell you, the San Francisco defense is one of the best. It's loaded with talent, for sure. They were 7th in yards per game, 14th in passing. So a little bit average, I suppose, there. 3rd against the run, 3rd in points at 17.5 points a game. Tied in 7th for sacks with 48, and tied for 5th with takeaways with 24. Turnover differential, though, plus 10. So they are expecting to get the ball more than they give it up.
Yeah, and up front, Nick Bosa, 10.5 sacks. Javon Hargrave, 7 sacks. Eric Armstead, 7. But, dude, the dude I love most on this team, and I would take him in a freaking heartbeat if I could get that star in his helmet, Fred freaking Warner, dude. This guy is, like, one of my favorite players, and I can't stand the Niners.
Yeah, and he is one of the, if not the best linebacker, 3-down dude in the entire NFL, led the team with 132 tackles this season, 11 passes defensed, 4 interceptions on the regular season. So just consistent and, you know, always in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, speaking of his compadre, Dre Greenlaw, last week with the 2 interceptions, kind of sealed the deal there, 8 tackles. This guy's a tackling machine too, 120. Yeah. But we talked about Tre'Davious Ward going up against Amon-Ra St. Brown, dude. This is going to be a sick matchup.
No doubt about it. He had a career-high 23 passes defense. When you're talking pass defense, folks, that is an enormous number.
That's insane. Defense. Why would you try that many times? You know what I mean? Like, right? Learn, maybe.
Not to mention he picked it off 5 different times this year. So Ward is a phenomenal corner on the backside there. And I'll tell you what, this defense is, like I said, they're loaded across the board. So the front 7 is as talented as any front 7 in the league, schematically as good as any defense in the league right now. And they've got guys on every level.
Yeah, a little worried about Detroit taking this game on the road outside of the Den on natural grass. I'm not sure if there's going to be rain or not. Can they get off, take care of the football? When Detroit is lost, it's been because of the turnovers. Mm-hmm. And this San Francisco team obviously loves to get that ball away. Can Detroit slow down that run game? And can they get to Purdy? All questions that we need answers to that we'll get on Sunday.
Yeah, is there any way that the Lions can make this a score fest and make it so that it's an offensive game? I think that's the way they would like this game to go, rather than it to be a slugfest and a physical battle against this Niners squad.
Yeah, and I hopefully get a little taste of the Dan Campbell pregame, because I'm sure that thing is going to go off. What an awesome game, man. I just hope the Lions show up and handle that moment. And like I said, outdoors on the grass, and see if it's too big for them. I don't know. Jared Goff's been to a damn Super Bowl, so he knows what it takes to get there. Just the awesome, awesome matchup, dude.
No question. I love both of these coaches. You know, got a brilliant guy on one side, and you got an incredible motivator on the other side. It's just going to be fun as hell. I hope, like, we get both of these teams' best and see what happens.
Hopefully all 4 of these teams play their best football. Yep. And either way, we are going to have the participants in the Super Bowl next week at this time. How stoked are you for that, bro?
I am completely and totally stoked.
That's the way we like to live, baby. So many ways you can check out the Football Dudes. The Trend Zone, now available for subscription. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like us on Instagram and Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Football Dudes LA, and make sure you tag us across all social media platforms. And Dave, if someone's out there just surfing the webs, what should they do, bro?
You should head on over to footballdudes.com. It's all there for you.
All right, that is going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. We're not the suits that talk football. We are the dudes that know football. for Dave. I'm Casey. Happy championship weekend, people. See you next week.